do you do in impossible situations? What do you do? Do you throw up your hands? Do you give up? Well, what we're going to do this morning is look at somewhat of an impossible situation, and probably it's one of the earliest in the Bible. There may be some before Genesis chapter 17 involving people who know God, but I'm going to suggest that this is probably one of the earliest impossible situations that there is in the Bible. And what we're going to do is look at this. We're going to look at how we can handle our situation and then just trust God and work through it. And that's all I can say that that God would expect, is to trust Him and to work through it. Okay, we're in a series entitled Becoming God's Friend. Today we're talking about dealing with impossible situations, and we're going to be in Genesis chapter 17. Genesis chapter 17. Now, we've been moving through. We began in Genesis 11, and we've done about six or seven messages getting up to this point. I just want to say something about Genesis 16 again. Genesis 16 talks about, does God hear me? When I cry out to Him, when I call upon Him, does He ever really hear me? And in this chapter, there's some amazing truths in Genesis chapter 16 that God is the God who hears and that He knows and He understands your situation. So that's Genesis 16 leading us into Genesis chapter 17. And let's see if we can understand what's going on here. When Abram, chapter 17, verse 1, was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty, walk before me and be blameless. All right, so Abram is 99 years old at this point. God comes to him and he says, I am God Almighty. I am the creator, the sustainer of life. Salvation is found in me. The solution to life is found in me. Be blameless, Abram, and follow me. Verse 2. I will confirm my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers. I will confirm my covenant to you. And we know that this covenant was made back in chapter 12, where he promised to give him a land and a people and an heir. And so this covenant was given to him. And he says, I'm going to greatly increase your numbers. Well, they're kind of thinking, Abram and Sarai at this point, God, you're going to do this for us, but we're too old to have children. And we're going to have some great nation come from us. How is that going to be? We already tried something back in Genesis chapter 15. And it's just amazing to look at these and to understand these things. And it's like, oh my goodness, what are they going to do? How are we going to handle this situation? And so you can't blame them in a sense for this. And so, my goodness, I look at this and I think, wow. All right. So with our impossible situation, on our outline, dealing with impossible situations, in our situation, a couple of thoughts here just coming out of these two verses. Number one is walk before God. Okay, fill that in. Walk before God. Number two is please God. Please God. Next one is be blameless. These are just a bunch of thoughts that come out of here. Next after that is without fault. In other words, have no fault in your life. Trust God. Next. And then finally, focus on God. I just want to pull out six just thoughts that say, you know what? You're in an impossible situation, whatever it is. Trust God. Walk with Him. Keep your focus on Him. Be blameless and please God. I just want to give you something to start with. As you attempt to do impossible things for Him, these are some ideas and thoughts. The focus here is on God, and not on circumstances. And our problem is we look at circumstances because we live in circumstances, and it's very difficult. All right. How old are they? Well, we know Abram's 99, and we know that Sarai is 75 at this point. So it looks pretty bleak, but let's see what happens. Verse 3, Abram fell face down, and God said to him, "As for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations." Okay, Abram, he fell down before him, and in a position of humility and trusting God, and he went on his face before God, and God said, "You're going to be the father of many nations." And it's kind of hard putting it in his perspective, but God, I don't even have a son. I can't even continue this. Now, what has happened from the last chapter, and this is important, Genesis 16, approximately 5 years have happened between these chapters. You know, from chapter 11 all the way through the story of Abraham, there's 25 years. And so, you know, there's been some time. And it's like, oh my gosh, Lord, I want to trust you, but it's so hard. It's interesting. Verse 5 says, "No longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations." You will be a father of many nations already. "I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you." Look at these amazing promises that he is making. "I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for the generations to come, to be your God and the God of the descendants after you. The whole land of Canaan, where you are now an alien, I will give you as an everlasting possession to you and your descendants after you, and I will be their God." All right, so he continues in these verses. "You're going to be the father of many nations. You're going to have the land, and I'm going to be your God." And he's just reiterating some of those amazing promises. And Abraham, I'm sure, is taking it in, but it's hard because these are great words. And Lord, you've said these words to me before, but I don't have a son. I don't have an heir. It seems impossible that these things can be fulfilled. Let's go to verse 9 then. "Then God said to Abraham, 'As for you, you must keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you for the generations to come. This is my covenant with you and your descendants after you, the covenant you are to keep. Every male among you shall be circumcised.'" All right, so he says, "I am making this covenant. And in this regard, circumcision is the covenant that I am making with you." Okay? So not only is he giving these words to Abram, but now he's talking about circumcision as a sign. This sign is between God and Abram, and he's going to make a covenant and authenticate this between them. Look at verse 11. "You are to undergo circumcision, and it will be a sign of the covenant between me and you." And it's pretty amazing. "For the generations to come, every male among you who is 8 days old must be circumcised, including those born in your household or bought with money from a foreigner, those who are not your offspring. Whether born in your household or bought, with your money, they must be circumcised. My covenant is your flesh. In your flesh is to be an everlasting covenant. Any uncircumcised male who has not been circumcised in the flesh will be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant." And so he starts with the fact that you're going to have many descendants, but all of them need to be circumcised. And this needs to be practiced beginning with you. And so God is coming and making a promise, and he is making the promise, and he is verifying it with this rite of circumcision. All right. So we know in the Bible that this is actually introduced here in Genesis chapter 17. And we need to understand that it was given as a sign to be for Abram, a covenant between God and Abram, and of God's blessing in his life and his future provision. And this sign will be with Abram and his descendants for their whole life. Or if it's not followed, they will be cut off. They will be cut off, so to speak, removed. All right, look at this. God also said to Abraham, as for Sarai, your wife, you are no longer to call her Sarai. Her name will be Sarah. So now we have Sarah as his wife at that point. Look at verse 16. I will bless her and will surely give you a son by her. All right, there's the promise again. I will bless her so that she will be the mother of nations. Kings of people will come from her. Verse 16. And so with Sarai, they changed her name. And all of this is in response to what God is saying, recommitting to Abraham and committing to the promises he made years before and saying, don't look outside of your family. Your wife will have a son. And he will be the beginning of a nation that will come from you, which will have kings and rulers and all of this. Now, this is interesting. How does Abraham respond? Verse 17, Abraham fell face down. He laughed and said to himself, will a son be born to a man 100 years old? Will Sarah bear a child at the age of 90? And Abraham said to God, if only Ishmael might live under your blessing. All right, now verse 17. It's just an amazing response that he had. He fell face down and he laughed. Now it's interesting. What was this laugh? He laughed to God. He laughed out of joy here and not of doubt. And we know this because of God's reaction to him in this. We also know that in the future that Sarah will laugh, but her laugh will be of doubt. And the only reason I think we know that is because of God's response to her, because he knows the heart and he knows what's going on. But nevertheless, in his impossible situation, he ended up laughing. And so I'm going to make a suggestion. In our situation, back to your outline, make sure and keep your sense of humor. Make sure and keep your sense of humor. That's what's going on as we get to the end of this and God makes a promise to him and we see this model from him. You know, one of the best medicine that you can ever take, some of the best medicine you can ever take is just to laugh. To turn up the edges of your lips, your mouth, and smile and laugh. Laugh in impossible situations. Laugh in difficult times. Don't take it too seriously. It will overwhelm you, whatever your situation is. Laugh. Trust God. You know, we're in this time where a lot of news programs have how to ride out the recession. And I'm going to suggest one thing to do to ride out the recession is trust God and laugh. And that is some of the best medicine you can ever get. Is laughter, and to trust him, and to look to him. Okay? Let's continue now. Beginning now at verse, let's see where I'm, just make sure I'm right. I'm at verse 19 now. Verse 19. All right? Then God said, yes, but your wife Sarah will bear you a son, and you will call him Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him. Okay, I'm going to bless your wife with a son, and we're going to name him what? Isaac. God has a sense of humor, folks. The word Isaac means what? He laughs. So when Sarah has this son, his name is to be Isaac, and it's going to be Abraham, always remember, every time he calls him, every time he looks at him, every time he thinks of his name, he laughs. God has a sense of humor. I think that's kind of a neat thing. As for Ishmael, verse 20, I have heard you. I will surely bless him. I will make him fruitful, and he will greatly increase his numbers. He will be the father of 12 rulers, and I will make him into a great transformation. Okay, so even in the midst of a mess, God is blessing in the midst of a mess. And so now we have the starting of another nation through Ishmael. Okay, verse 21, "But my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah will bear to you by this time next year." Those are such good words, saying it's going to happen this time next year. "When he had finished speaking with Abraham, God went up from him." Verse 22. All right, so God clarifies some things from Abraham, and it's, I know it helped him to know the name of his son and what God was saying there, but more than the name of his son, he was saying it would happen within the next year. All right, now let's see Abraham's response to this at this point. Verse 23, "On that very day," look at those words, "on that very day, Abraham took his son Ishmael and all those born in his household, or bought with his money, every male in his household, and circumcised them," "as God had told him." Look at this. There's not delayed obedience. There is immediate obedience. The same day he obeyed and he did this. And this is not an easy thing to do. Come on, folks. It isn't. And honestly, it's a very painful thing. And he did this. Abraham, verse 24 now, was 99 years old when he was circumcised, and his son Ishmael was 13. Abraham and his son Ishmael were both circumcised on the same day, and every male in Abraham's household, including those born in his household or bought from a foreigner, was circumcised with him. And so he made the decision to follow what God had said here. And there was, what do you see here? What do you see? Uh-huh, go ahead. Yes, good. What, anybody else? What do you see? Good, that's the word I'm hunting for. Complete obedience, immediate obedience. Those things are critical in this passage, in impossible situations. All right, so in our situation, back to your outline, make sure you immediately and completely obey God, verses 19 through 27. Make sure you immediately and completely obey God, verses 19 through 27. It takes us through the end of this passage. Wow. What do you know to do that you are not obeying in your walk with God? What should you be doing? You know, and I know. Should you be serving? Of this, during tough times, should you still be giving? Yes, you should. What are you doing? What do you need to continue to keep doing in your walk with God? All right, let me come the other side of that. What do you need to stop doing? You know that's not right, and do before God. What do you need to stop doing? Lying, cheating, all kinds of things. What do you need to stop doing in your relationship and continue to keep doing with the Lord? All right. Very interesting. All right, let's go back to the outline. Let's kind of wrap this chapter up. In other words, at the bottom, look up. Okay, fill in the word up. Look up, walk before God, and wait. Now, isn't that an interesting way to put this? But this is exactly what's going on. You're in the middle of an impossible situation. You've done what you can. You've prayed. You've asked God. You've worked and done what you can. Then let me make a suggestion. Once you've done that, look up, walk before God, and wait. There's simply nothing else you can do at some point, and wait for God to do what he must do, or he will do. And that waiting is some of the most difficult part of the Christian life. It just is. Next statement, don't get uptight, relax. Don't get uptight, relax. But we're impatient, aren't we? We want to see it now. It's got to take place quickly. Oh my goodness, one of the main lessons as I go through this section in the life of Abraham is that it took a long time from when God made that first promise to the point where their son Isaac was born. And God's timetable, I've said it before, is quite different than ours, and we tend to be very impatient. We just need to wait. Don't get uptight. Relax. Trust God and wait. Last statement on your outline, in other words, wait on Him. Wait on Him to see what He will do. Wait on God. Trust Him. Put your faith and your confidence in Him. And wait. Now, you know, what I want to do is say, you know, I'm not sure what your impossible situation is. I'm not sure what you're facing at this point in your life. But one of the things you need to do is you need to learn patience. It was interesting, before the service today, I was talking to a couple of people, and we were talking about the fact that they don't want to pray certain prayers. And one of them is, God, help me to learn patience, because that's just a dangerous prayer, and one that God will be faithful to, and sometimes the circumstances and the situations we go through are very difficult in developing patience in our life. And in talking about that, when we look at this story, it's all about patience. And especially in difficult times and difficult situations, it may take a while for them to work out. It may take a while for them to settle. And in that time, what's amazing about this section is you wait patiently on God. But during that time, as you walk before Him, you focus on Him, you trust Him, you obey Him. Those are the things that we see emphasized here as we wait for God to do and for God to act and for God to move in His time, not in our time. And so maybe this morning, if I can do this, let me lead you just to think about prayer and praying to God that there are things in your life right now that just are not going to be solved easily. They seem like an impossible, but God, call upon Him to come and to act and to help us to be able to work through them and to be able to see them come to completion. That's one part of this. And we're going to take a moment and pray. And then just that, God, You give us patience. Give us patience. And as we develop patience, help us to be more faithful with You. Lord, thank You for this morning. Thank You that You give some examples of impossible situations, and we just need to trust You. And this morning I pray that we would do that continually, faithfully, trust You. During these times of just growth and reaching out to You, that we would walk before You, that we would be honest with You, that You would guide and direct our steps. And so I pray for that, and I pray that You will guide and direct in our lives. Thank You that Your promises are never broken, that we can trust You and seek You. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, Amen.